Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's roll out the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So sure enough, we're back on track now. There was a blog that popped up there this morning, so swing on by, check it out. Of course, when you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E's.
Yeah, let's hope Dan and I have some better luck than yesterday when the podcast just kind of ended on its own. We didn't have anything to do with that. I do apologize. It's just one of the things that happens sometimes. But, well, and, you know, yeah, Dan, I got to tell you.
I was going to say, the funny thing about that is I have no clue what's going on, because there's you talk about dead silence. It's dead silent, so I don't even – I don't even know if I'm on air or what's going on when stuff like that happens.
Anyway, I got to tell you know, with all the NFL COVID stuff going on, my big time team lost another game. So I'm now 10-2 or 11-2 or something in the auction league. So hopefully it looks like things are straightened out, and I'm okay. But my snake league team actually won. So, and we've got to be getting close to playoff time here, but I don't think they have a shot. They're 6-7, and I don't see them having enough to get in. But yeah, and then the third team I had to do, they lost again. But what killed me this week, Dan, is they moved the Steelers game again, and I knew James Conner wasn't going to play, so I got him out of my lineup in that one league. It didn't help. They still lost. But Chris Boswell is the kicker on my auction league team, and he was a late scratch, so I had no chance to replace him. So I got 0 points out of my freaking kicker, and that contributed to me losing that game. And then two of my defensive linemen scored 0. So I was like, yeah, if you guys would have just shown up, maybe I would have had a chance. But I went in and cut all those guys. I was like, forget it, you're all gone. I don't care what your excuse were. And hopefully we can get back on track this week. So, because I would hate to go into the playoffs, you know, playing horribly. That's always a bad omen. Now, how did your auction league team do?
Oh, gosh. So, Big Jack, Saturday I was going through it all. Saturday I was going through it all because, you know, Adam Thielen and a bunch of guys were on the IL. So I got them all moved off the IL. And then, I was just trying to get it all set. I moved them all. And then I went and focused on my snake league, because I was like, well, you know, try to salvage something, right? Because that team's all screwed up. Well, 12:05 hits Sunday afternoon, and I realized that I forgot to put in Adam Thielen and Wayne Gallman.
Oh, and Gallman was huge.
Yeah, so, you're thinking, oh, Dan the Man, not the end of the world. Well, no, because I still could have skated by and won, right? except I had Antonio Gibson in, and he only scored 1.13 points.
Yeah, that's because he got hurt on like his first or second play of the game, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, with that, you're kind of going, whoa, you missed out on like 40 points. You probably got crushed. Yeah, I got crushed by probably the lowest margin this week. I had 149.51, and my opponent was 151.68. Yeah. You know, it was one of those weeks where, you know, obviously I kicked myself for not getting in Thielen, but that shouldn't have mattered. You know, I just don't understand what the hell happened to Matt Ryan and the Falcons O-line. I mean, you know, three sacks. This guy is supposed to projected to have scored 16 points on Sunday or whatever they played, and he barely squeaked by a 9.5. Had he hit his goal, I would have won. You know, so it's like, obviously my, you know, my stupidity didn't, you know, not starting Thielen and Gallman didn't help. But, you know, one of the biggest things I will say, and this is what kicks me even more, you know, Jacksonville, Joe Schobert, I don't know how you say that, he put up 21 points. So if it weren't for him, I would have had my ass handed to me this weekend. So, definitely a little annoyed that I made that mistake. It's not the mistakes like I've made in the, what do we call it, Black Wednesday or whatever when we're the hockey leagues. You know, but knowing that you dropped the game, you know, it's you and I would say battling it for first and second, but, you know, the way things are going, you're always going to be in first unless you lose two more games and I don't lose anymore. And I don't think we have that much more time left, do we? No. You know, we're coming up on week 14, Big Jack, and this is it. So you and I have secured playoff spots. I'm looking at my matchup for this week, and it's going to be an interesting one. I'm slated to lose. I haven't updated my lineups yet, so, you know, maybe once I get Thielen in and Gallman, that'll change things. But I'm up against the probably what would you call him, like an all star of our league or Hall of Famer, Secret Squirrel?
Oh yeah, yeah. You could call him either or if you wanted to. He's been a long time guy with us. Oh, you know, definitely.
Well, you know, long time guy, but long time just ass kicker. So,
yeah.
If there's anyone I wouldn't. You know, if there was anyone I would want to not end the season up against, it's him. But at least I'm in a good spot that if I lose, I'm still slated. Well, actually, the thing is he's, you know, the number three seed. He's we're neck and neck. So for him and I, and I forgot how the playoff seeding goes with this Big Jack. We wouldn't play each other regardless, would we?
Who, you and him?
Yeah.
No, not in the first round. I mean, obviously down the road, you know, you guys could meet, but yeah, not in the first round.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, as far as the season ends, you know, obviously prior to playoffs, Secret Squirrel he's, you know, I'm 2,073 and he's 2,067. So we're neck and neck for second and third. But of course, you know, the finality of it, once it's all done, obviously changes our position. So, you know, it's, of course, like I said, he's not the guy I want to be up against for my last week.
Yeah. No, you know, it's definitely like I'm going up against Maniac McGee, who is another guy who's been in our league for a very long time. He's 8-5 in the 10th place team right now. So technically he's on the outside looking in. So he could really use a win against me to kind of solidify, you know, or try to get himself into the playoffs. Cause there are, What do we got here? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's see if we got any in this division. There are 7, 8, and 5 teams in our league. So our league is definitely top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he'll be definitely looking for a win to try to to try to get himself into the playoffs. And like I said, I just want to win to kind of lock down the best record deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out. And I guess, you know, I should, while I'm here, I want to look at the, auction or the Snake League and see if there's even a chance of me getting in. I have a feeling there's not. Heck, I might as well take a look, right?
So, oh, yeah. I'm not even bothering.
I don't think so. I'm 6-7 and in 13th. So if I was to end 7-7, yeah, that's not going to get me far enough up. I do see you're 5-8 and 16th. So, you know, what I do find humorous is this was the league where I was supposed to go like 12-1 or 13-1 or something like that. That was my draft grade, was I was supposed to have a dominant season. Obviously that doesn't take in injuries, because I had the number one pick and took the top guy, and he played 2, maybe 3 games for me due to injury. So, you know, it's one of those things where there's nothing you can kind of do about that. But, you know, it's just kind of humorous how that worked out. I went from, you know, I think I had the best rating and the best record, and I looked like the pick at the beginning of the season, and now I'm not even in the playoffs. So,
yeah, well, and that's kind of, if you go and look at my team right now, I've pretty much had a lineup with max IR the entire season. I traded away a guy for Randall Cobb, who ended up getting hurt, of course. I actually traded Randall Cobb for whoever I traded him for, Nick Foles, and I got Nick Foles and Randall Cobb. And the guy I went up again, you know, my trade partner, whatever you want to call him, he actually took whatever backup I had for Denver, and he took a guy who was ranked lower than Cobb and who actually got injured right after our trade happened. So I was like, does this guy know what he's doing? So that was kind of humorous to me. But, I mean, I think I could have competed had I had a quarterback. You know, I was banking on Garoppolo. You know, he wasn't really highly valued. No one was looking at him. When we were drafting, I think I took him later. I was kind of going off of last season, and I wasn't expecting a guy, you know, to go to the Super Bowl or anything like that. I was just expecting a guy to hit his numbers, you know, 15 to 20 points a week, and that would have kept me in this. But, you know, sadly, well, that gamble was working in the beginning, but it just fell apart. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, this one, I do feel like I had a better draft than I had in the past. But it blew up in my face. So at least I was going to say at least I'm not in the bottom five, but I am.
Well, yeah, and, you know, speaking of bottom five, Dan, I got the notice to renew the NHL league, where Dan and I were both in the bottom five last year, but we're not going to throw ourselves out of the league. So, if you are interested in hockey, it's not set up yet, but if you email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, we'll send you the link. And like always, it's free to sign up. Apparently, they're looking at trying to start about the middle of January now. And what I found really interesting, Dan, and I think this could be kind of cool. The NHL may actually be forced to have an all-Canadian division. You know, as you know, with the COVID-19, you know, Canada's not letting anybody from America into their country. I don't even know if you could sneak across the border. You just can't get into Canada. Well, you know, for the, you know, the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NFL, you know, that's no problem. It's one team in basketball and one team in baseball. Well, in the NHL, it's, I believe we came up with seven that are headquartered in Canada. Yeah, we have Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto. Oh, who's over here? Anybody? No, that's one more. Winnipeg, of course, we know Dan knows Winnipeg. That's his daughter's favorite team. Edmonton and Vancouver, and I think I'm missing one. Oh, Calgary. So, yeah, it looks like they may put them all together in one division this year. You know, and they'll obviously have to play against only each other. So that'll be kind of strange, you know, because they all want to play the same number of games. But, you know, it'll be, you know, how many times is Calgary going to play Edmonton? But, you know, if it's what they've got to do, they've got to do, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You think that's cool or not?
Well, it's the Canadian Seven. How long are we going to have to hear about that? Because I, to be honest, Big Jack, I could care less about the original six.
Well, like the original six is one of those things, it's nice to know who they are because obviously
yeah.
It's how the sport got its origin. But for whatever reason, hockey is the one sport that really drills it into your head. And I don't know why that is.
I don't
you know,
get it either.
I get, you know, they're big on history, but so is every other sport. But, you know, we don't hear, you know, because, I mean, like you always hear when the Bears play the Packers, how many times they played, when the rivalry started, kind of stuff. But, you know, hockey, this is an original six matchup. Every time they play. And here looking, Dan, they're looking now at January 13th as opening night in the NHL. So a little over a month away. We'll see. And what was also kind of, I don't know if you'd call it humorous or what, there are actually teams, Dan, that have explored, which means looked into for people like me, the option of playing all their games outside this season, or at least all their home games.
I know who's not doing that.
Who?
The Ducks.
Yeah, obviously it would be impossible for some teams to do it. But I thought that would be kind of cool. Could you imagine if all your games were outside? It would make you feel like a kid.
Yeah.
Those, one of those things. But, yeah, so, you know, hockey right around the corner. Hopefully Dan or I, or maybe both of us, probably Dan, will perform a little better in the fantasy league than we did last year. I think we were down in, like, 16th or 17th, weren't we?
It was bad.
So, and the sad part is that's where the dead teams live, and here I am changing my lineup every day. Hey, man, what's going on? I can't do anything. So, but we'll see how it goes. And, again, you know, if sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, it's free. I'll have it set up at least by the weekend, you know, hopefully before that. But it'll be up, and, you know, we'll remind you here until the league fills up. Like the basketball league, which unfortunately filled up. So, well, unfortunate for you if you didn't get in. So We shall see. But yeah, so it's you know, it looks like we're gonna get the four major sports in some way, shape, or form, you know.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I guess with the NBA season having had wrapped up so late, obviously, you know, the talk of them starting right on the 22nd, I guess we're used to being in the NBA mode, I guess you could say, NBA, NHL, but yeah, you know, obviously it's all about football right now. So it is kind of bizarre that it's creeping up on us, and despite all the stuff that's turned, you know, you and I off to the NBA, doesn't it kind of feel kind of right though that the NBA is not going on right now, and it's even both leagues, you know, I kind of feel like the NHL should be a little sooner, but
Yeah, you know,
it just
I.
kind of feels good.
Yeah, you know, like I honestly haven't even really noticed that the NBA hadn't started. You know, obviously it was supposed to, but you know, with the way they finished so late and all that, and I mean, you know, if they had decided to cancel again, you know, I wouldn't have cared. You know, I just, as much as I would like to be interested in it. You know how I am with this new style of game. It just, you know, it bores me. So,
Yeah, and you know,
you
and
know,
so
maybe.
that kind of leads me to the one thing I wanted to bring up to you, and I know you'd get a kick out of this. You know, and I don't know how much truth this is. I've seen this in, you know, random Facebook groups, whatnot. The NBA is looking, or well, this, I don't know if this is official or whatnot, but supposedly the NBA is going to fine any team $100,000 that, you know, quote, load manages for national televised games. You know, and this one random group I'm in, or is it a group or a page I liked? I don't know what it was. But this one guy was like, ooh. We're talking about a multi-billion-dollar industry. They're going to care about $100,000. Oh, okay, I first wanted to address this guy, but I figured with his level of intelligence, it's not even worth it, because the team could be worth $5 billion or so, whatever the Clippers were bought for. But it's not like they're generating billions of dollars a year. When you take the whole league together, yes. We can agree on that. But you know, it cracked me up, and I was like, well, it does matter, because $100,000 fine means that that's taxable income still for that team. So when they get fined, they don't want to be fined $100,000 because it's lost money. And you know, it's not something they can write off. They can't do anything with that money. It's a fine. If this is true, I am hoping that the NBA, and it doesn't just go into Adam Silver's pocket, which I know these things don't, but you know, this is the one thing I don't like about the leagues, is that when they force these fines on the teams, they don't really give us any kind of inclination of what they're doing with it. It's a fine. It's a fine for the team doing something they shouldn't have done. And I just don't think it's right for the league to collect that money and then just be like, well, we'll chop it up. I think that money, and I don't know if this is, if maybe they do this, but well, should 100% go to some kind of foundation. It shouldn't be collectible for anybody's, you know, pocket. So, but that's neither here nor there. I did kind of get into it in this string with one guy, because of course, you know, and you love this one, Big Jack. So you know, this one set me off. He mentioned that, you know, I kind of said about the fact, you know, all the owners just want to pocket all the money, you know, because I said I don't have a problem with this, but the players, if they, you know, the obviously the team should get fined, but if players, you know, like you've said a million times, these players are professionals, they're the best of the best. why do they need time off? Why do they need to take that time off? If they want to take that time off just because, then they shouldn't get paid for it. Oh, but it's an 82-game grind. And I laid it out for him. I go, dude, there's coming in January. I just went with January because I knew it was a full month. I go, there's 15. The Bulls are playing 15 games in January, okay? 2 of the 4 weeks, they play 4 games. The other 2 weeks, they play 3 games. There were, I think, 4 instances where they play back-to-backs. What do you need a day off for? From a game. Hey, you know what I mean? Like, if you're tired, then maybe you shouldn't practice. That's where I'm at. You know, these guys are professionals. They, well, however you like it, they don't need to practice every single freaking day. They don't need to wake up at 6 in the morning and practice every day. If they're down, if they have all those things that we got from, you know, D. Rose, lower body injuries and whatnot, the generics, then rest them from practice. And forget, and I'm trying to explain to him, you know, it's the game. These are professionals. This is what they do. You never hear a WWE or, you know, all these other wrestling leagues now complain when they, you know, go back 10, 15 years when I used to watch it and Jeff Hardy jumps off a 20-foot ladder, lands on 2 guys, you know, on a table. And then what does he do? That's Sunday night at, you know, 8:30 p.m. What is he doing Monday night at 9 o'clock? The same stuff. You never heard these guys crying. You know, and I know this was, you wouldn't even be able to be on this thread because I think you would have just, like, thrown your computer, your phone, you know, punched that guy through the computer. But I'm like, dude, they're professionals. This is what they do. They need to play. You know, and not only that, he goes, oh, you know, I'm a Bulls fan. I'm like, I am too. And I'm sorry, but you want to schedule these things, then fine. You want to do load management, then you need to schedule it hell in advance. We need to know a week beforehand that, you know, we don't have the superstars like we did on the Bulls, but we need to know a week before, like, hey, next Wednesday, so-and-so is going to be off. And I'm honest, these guys need a break, then give them the real break. Because to me, when you take a guy and you say he's going to rest, and then all he's doing is wearing a suit on the sidelines, that's a slap in the face to a guy like me who only gets to go to 1 game a week or a season and has to pay $70 just to sit in the frickin' nosebleeds, you know, where I'm 10 rows down from the last seat in the house. It's a slap in the face. Oh, I've been to games like that, and I know how, you know, the coach can run it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's the game is about the fans. You want to talk about the owners being money hungry grabbers and whatnot. The players are. I'm sorry, you're getting paid $30 million a year. What the hell do you need a day off for? And then I threw in there too. I'm like, dude, this game isn't like it was in the 90s. I'm not going to compare Jordan era to LeBron era, but let's be flat out honest. These guys didn't cry. They didn't take breaks, you know, and they played defense. No. What do they need a break for now? They don't play defense. And all they do is shoot threes. So your guys aren't busting their asses like they used to. And he's like, well, you know, I'd rather see my guys in the playoffs than a meaningless game in February. And I'm like, and that's exactly what's wrong with this game. So many players have made it obvious and said it to us, the fans, that some of these games are meaningless. So what is the point of the regular season? Why do I, a casual fan, I don't even know why I'm getting so upset about it right now, Big Jack. Why do I, as a casual fan, want to continue to support and watch this game, knowing full well that the players don't really give a crap about regular season ball?
Yeah, well, you know, and this is what I've never understood. You know, if you're worried about a guy, cut his minute.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
what
I said.
There's no reason. You know, LeBron James needs to play 30 minutes against the worst team in the league. You know, go out, get a big lead, and sit him down. He plays 10, 15 minutes that night. You know, and I mean, there's so many other ways to handle this by, oh, well, we're going to give him the night off. he needs a break. Well, I need a break from my job too, and so does Dan and, you know, everybody else who works every day of their lives and doesn't make 30-some-odd million a year. What do we do? You know, our job's not load managing.
No, and that's the thing, Big Jack. You want to give him time off. I don't want to see his ass. No offense.
Yeah.
If he needs time off, this guy, if he needs rest or whatever the BS excuse you're trying to give is, then what is he doing with the team? Okay? If you've gone from Chicago to L.A. and Joakim Noah, I know I'm dating myself, needs some rest and doesn't need to be on the court, then why the hell did you bring him with you? He should be back home.
Right.
You know, sitting on his couch watching, supporting his team. He doesn't need to be there. You know, call up one of the G Leaguers and bring him up for a week. I don't know. It just, to me, I don't know how you feel about that, but I seriously feel like when you see that, when you see your player who doesn't have a broken leg or is completely injured sitting on the sideline because he needs a day off in a suit, it's a slap in the face to the paying fans.
Yeah. You know, and that is part of the reason why the television ratings are in the tank. You know, do you think that somebody who turns on a Los Angeles Clippers game and, you know, finds out Kawhi Leonard isn't playing, how fast do you think that guy turns it off? You know, especially if it's against the Bulls or a team like that or the Knicks. They're not going to watch that game without Kawhi Leonard in it. So, you know, that's just kind of how it is. But while we're on the NBA here, Dan, I got to ask you about all this James Harden BS. You know, the Rockets decided to make a coaching change. They hired Steven Silas, who's kind of a young, up-and-coming guy. Well, after the hiring, James Harden decided to pout because he wanted Tyronn Lue hired. So he decided he wasn't going to report and all this other stuff. Well, over the weekend, Harden went to parties in clubs in Atlanta and Las Vegas. I know the one of them was some rapper's birthday party in Atlanta that I'd never heard of. But he didn't bother to wear a mask. Gigantic violation in the NBA. Now for Harden to return, he actually has to produce 6 negative COVID tests before he will be cleared to return. That's how strict the NBA is being with this, which I can't blame them at all. Obviously, Harden has came out and said that he wants to be traded. The Rockets don't want to trade him because they just went out and acquired John Wall for Russell Westbrook. You know, he wants to go to Brooklyn and play with his buddies, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. I don't know, however, that worked out, but I believe people already said the salary cap numbers don't match, so it's probably not going to happen. What do you think goes on here, Dan? Does this guy sit out when the season starts in 13 days, or do they work this out and he gets his whiny crybaby ass on the floor to get the season started?
I mean, if I'm the team, I let him sit. I let him pull, what's his name? What's that running back's name? I let him do it. You know, I like my nephew and I was talking to him the other day. We were talking about Harden and the situation, and he was kind of laughing. He's like, can you believe this? He's like, oh, it would be something else if he did go there. And I'm like, yeah, well, of course he wants to get out of town. You know, and part of it, like you said, it's the being the whiny and wanting to team up with your buddies. But I go, there's the other realization. He knows that being in the West and being on any other team but the Lakers doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right.
You have no shot at winning a title. No shot whatsoever. Because, and I made this joke before, you know, with the, you know, all the teams except for 6 making it to the playoffs next season or this upcoming season, why not just do what they really want to do? No divisions, no nothing. We can reorganize the league once LeBron is gone. And just make everyone battle in a tournament to play the Lakers.
Yeah.
I know it's such a smart-ass thing, and it's not realistic at all, but we all know coming into this season that anybody who watches the NBA is going to make one prediction, and that's all you need. You're going to predict that the Lakers will be in the finals, and we all win. We all win 50 cents. You know, who's in the East? Who makes it to the East? We don't care because they're not going to win. So.
And now, you know, this is the other thing. Maybe you can answer this for me, Dan. LeBron and the Lakers and Anthony Davis, they get to the finals. The ratings are still terrible. But the NBA thought this was the solution from back in, you know, 2018, 2019 when the ratings started to fall. You know, the reason was because the Lakers weren't in the playoffs. Well, you got the Lakers back in the playoffs, and the ratings were worse. Why can't the NBA figure out that you can't focus your marketing on one guy because you have a gigantic league of players and you need to create new superstars? I'm just baffled that they continue to make it all. Is it in LeBron's contract that it has to be all about him?
That's kind of how I feel. Like, he's got a secret special contract with the NBA that we don't know about.
Because, I mean, like, you know, for a while it was LeBron and Steph Curry when LeBron was still in the East. But now you don't hear anything about Steph Curry.
No.
I got it.
So I, you know, it's just kind of, you know, but getting back to James Harden, you think anybody's drafting him when our league comes around or paying for him?
Yes, I still think he's going to get drafted. The kind of comedic part about it, Big Jack, is this one you even try to play the game with?
Not me. I'm not that.
You know, I mean, I've always done it. You know, I've thrown bids out there knowing that I'm just trying to, you know, get a guy to lose some of his money. But we may be safe because – we're going to have auto pickers, and one of them will, you know, it'll be like 5, 10, 15, and then all of a sudden it'll jump to 79.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll probably nominate him. He'll probably be my first nomination just to get it out of the way, and, you know, and see where he goes. But I'm not bidding on him. Now, of course, one of the other guys that I would like to bid on, Dan, Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, he's in contract talks with Milwaukee, and he's running out of time here. He's got till December 21st to sign what they call the Supermax extension, which would be 5 years and $228 million. It could actually be worth a little more than that. Now, today, Giannis came out, and I'm sure you've heard this quote before, Dan. He said, "I'm focused on basketball and letting my agent handle the contract."
What
do you think? Yeah. Now, does he walk away from this deal? I mean, a lot of money to walk away from. But he's been a big story, you know, about the Bucks trying to get him help and not being able to get him help. And, you know, everybody seems to think he's leaving. Do they work this out before December 21st, or do we see Giannis joining the Lakers next year so they can win some more titles?
I don't know if he's included in the Super Friends. So,
well, he would be. If he hits the free agent market, he will be very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't fired his agent, has he, and got a new one? Wink, wink.
No, not yet, but we'll have to wait and see about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like he would stay in Milwaukee, but, you know, the money's right. But I feel like if you want to win a championship, I don't think it's going to happen in Milwaukee. You know, it's not a team.
Yeah, no.
It's not a team that's a draw for the NBA. The NBA doesn't care about the Bucks. Or I'm sorry, ESPN doesn't care about the Bucks. They care about Giannis.
Yeah, but they care about Giannis. Yeah.
So and for them, regardless of how, you know, and I think that's one of the things that I think, you know, and you know, people, oh, forget the casual fan. You know, Dan the Man, you and Big Jack are just casual fans. You cannot rely on your diehard audience. You know, when it comes to Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball knows that you and I are going to watch. So,
yeah.
they've got to try to cater towards other people to get them to watch, because they know you and I are going to watch. Even if we're going to bitch about stuff, we're going to complain, and then we're going to watch it regardless. You know, there was, you know, unless there's an extra inning and there's a man on second, then I'm turning it off. But,
yeah.
You know, so, but the NBA needs to cater. Not, I don't want to say cater, but get to guys like you and I. You know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I was watching the NBA. I was totally on, you know, I was on the Heat train, the Heat wagon. I definitely was on that, the Warriors bandwagon. But now, whose wagon do I really care about the Lakers with LeBron? And not really. You know, and that's the thing. And it's not that I'm a LeBron hater. It's just kind of what the league has turned him into, and it's just not that exciting when you know that the league only cares about one guy, and it's him. It just takes some of the fun out of it. And but maybe that's how the rest of the league felt back in the Jordan era. And we were just the center here, you know.
So, yeah, but, you know, I don't, you know, they didn't really center on Jordan, because you remember we had Magic and Bird.
Yeah.
While Jordan was doing his thing. Yeah, and then we had, you know, Akeem. So there were, you know, there were a lot of guys, you know, who would do that. But
Larry Johnson, Kevin Johnson. Well, and that was the thing. I felt like while it was a national game, you were definitely regional, and every region had its stars. You know, when the Bulls were going up against Phoenix, people loved the Suns. You know, the Barkley, the Jazz, you loved watching all those teams. That was my weekend. Was it Channel 7, I think, ABC? Watching early basketball all weekend long, not just the Bulls. Which is oddly why I enjoyed watching the Knicks and Patrick Ewing. He was one of my favorites. Watching him, Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, who was not a superstar, but to me he was, because he had a cool haircut. That's,
you know, and like now you just, you know, you don't hear about these guys. I mean, more and more it seems like we're starting to hear about LeBron. So maybe he can be the kind of guy to push through and get a, you know, get another name out there. But, you know, other than that, there's just really nobody there that they seem to be willing to talk about, you know, unless they you know, they get a triple-double or they do something that's never been done. But, you know, triple-doubles aren't a dime a dozen. You know, it's not like they're easy to get. So it's just so weird that they, you know, and this is all on the Mickey Mouse Network, because they have the big contract and they're the one who needs to develop this. So, you know, it'll be interesting to, you know, again, this is one of the things where I don't understand why they didn't learn from their mistakes. You know, it's clearly been in front of them for years now. Mm-hmm. You know, and like they tried to push it with Zion a little bit last year, but then he got dinged up. So, you know, maybe they'll look that way. You know, I mean, Trae Young is a fun player to watch. You know, so, you know, but yeah, you know, they need to find these, you know, you got to remember LeBron's almost 40. How much longer do they think he's going to be playing?
Five more seasons.
You know, and I mean, I know he wants
Magic to draft his
one
kid.
Year with his kid. Right. He wants to play at least 1 year with his kid. And I think his kid graduates from high school in 2 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, he'll you know, LeBron will play at least 3 more seasons. But then what
no
does
offense.
The NBA do?
Yeah. Well, and if that's a great idea. I think it's pretty damn cool, and, you know, it'll go down in history books, and, you know, we'll all sing Kumbaya and, you know, roast marshmallows together while LeBron and his son play together. But let's not forget how great that worked out on the other side of L.A. Granted, Doc wasn't playing, but he picked up
yeah.
his son.
You well,
know,
you know,
and
there's no guarantee
to live.
That remember that.
But yeah, well, and that's the other thing, Big Jack. You know, how much pressure is going to be on that kid to live in LeBron's shadow?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be the
he's,
you know, Jordan's kid. You know, remember Jordan's one son, I don't remember which one it was. I think it was Jeff. Was a really good, really solid college basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Never Michael Jordan. But he was, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you can even switch it over to football. I mean, the greatest bear of all time is Walter Payton. His kid Jarrett was a decent NFL running back for a couple seasons. Never going to be Walter, but they put the pressure on him to be Walter. He was never going
yeah.
to be. Nobody's ever going to be. So, you know, we'll have to see how Bronny handles it when they start laying it on him. This is where all the Ball brothers are going right now. Damn God, I'm glad my dad sucked. So.
All right. Well, you know, as we anticipate the start of the NBA season, I figured we'd switch it up because you'd love to hear this one. So in this little thread I had going with this guy, and, you know, unlike American politics, we ended it civilly. We agreed to disagree because, you know, I'm never going to agree with what he had to say. He's never going to agree with what I had to say. But he did ignore one of my comments, which he couldn't agree to disagree with me on this one. You know, as we were talking about the difference in game, he brought up the fact that, oh, well, you know, it's kind of like in the Major League Baseball. You know, 20, 30 years ago, a pitcher was expected to go 8 innings, but now they're not because of better understanding of injury risk and something else. And you know exactly how I responded because we both kind of are similar in this aspect, but I said, I cannot agree with you at all 100% because the difference between today's pitcher and yesterday's pitcher was the fact that now every pitcher, starting pitcher especially, is clocking in 100 plus miles an hour. And I don't know if there's a pitcher out there that clocks in at that who has not spent a year or two not pitching because of Tommy John. So they have not identified the injury. They have not gotten better at resolving the injury risk. They're just making it worse. And of course he just pretended like I said nothing. And we went back into the NBA talk, but I was just kind of laughing. I wanted to bring it up to him again, but I'm like, I got to get back to work. I don't have time for this crap. But I just thought it was hilarious because at the end of that, I just put, you know, after I commented about the baseball stuff, I just put Greg Maddux. You know, I mean, because it's true. You know, how many pitchers, you know, and what kind of brings that up too right now is the fact that the Phillies are allegedly trying to move Zach Wheeler. And I mean, I forget the details on his contract. I know it's a good amount of money, Maybe that's what they meant by stupid money they were going to spend. But, you know, who's going to take Zach Wheeler? Knowing that this kid was a top prospect in the Mets system, and how many seasons did he actually pitch for them? Did he miss, like, what, a good two full seasons, Big Jack?
Yeah, he missed 2 years with Tommy John.
Yeah, so, I mean, how are you going to tell me that it's better today that a pitcher throws 103 miles an hour for four innings, maybe full five innings, but by May, you know, his velocity is, you know, is off, his pitches are wild, and the next thing we know, oh, well, he's not throwing as good because of the, I mean, he needs Tommy John. You know, so you can't sit there and tell me that the process they have today is any better than it was 30 years ago. That's a load of crap.
Yeah, and here, just so you know, Wheeler has 4 years left on his contract. He's 31. He makes 22.5 this year, then it jumps to 26. It goes down to 24.5. The final year of his contract, it's 23.5. So you're picking up over what, 80, 90, you're picking up $98 million, $98.5 million over four seasons.
Yeah, for a guy who might pitch 2.5 of those.
Yeah, you know, I mean, to be fair, he was healthy last year. The injury he had was a fingernail. It didn't have anything to do with the Tommy John surgery. But yeah, even so, I mean, he's had two. I don't know of any pitcher that's had or needed three, but I guess it's possible. You know, I mean, he was 4-2 in 11 starts with a 2.92 ERA, so he wasn't bad. You just gotta figure out. I mean, I kind of thought they overpaid him when they signed him.
Yeah,
but you know, we'll you know, there may be a taker or two out there for him. I don't know what they want or what they could get back in return, but there may be some interest there.
And you know, I don't remember where I saw this one. I liked, you know, random pages, and so when I saw this one, I kind of laughed. And what was brought up, and I just kind of want to get your take on it. One of the reasons, you know, this is obviously a theory that someone just posted, not a reporter or beat, whatever, a paid person saying this. You know, they're kind of speculating that part of this has to do with the Bryce Harper signing, that they want to unload some of their payroll because they're paying him too much. Do you think that's in the cards already?
You know, it is a possibility, you know, because obviously nobody was expecting to have happen what happened last year. So teams lost billions of dollars. You know, I mean, you know, currently the Phillies' payroll is, you know, over a little over $122 million. But, you know, you've got to remember Aaron Nola is going to be out of arbitration here very soon. They're going to have to figure out how to pay him. You got Rhys Hoskins coming up. You're going to have to figure out how to pay him. So, you know, there's going to be, you know, situations. It wouldn't be bad to get that almost $100 million of Wheeler off the board and spend it on your guys.
Yeah.
You know, it is kind of funny, though, that it's the team that said they had stupid money to spend and we're going to spend Harper and Machado. So,
and you know, I know he's kind of running short, so I don't know how deep you could dive into this, but now that we have a great sample size of Theo's system, you know, especially working with the Cubs and the whole rebuild thing, because he didn't rebuild in Boston. So now that we have a pretty solid sample size, and, you know, you just brought it up, the Phillies have a succession of guys who are going to come up off of arbitration. Do you think that they're going to start to move their way to where they're not so focused on drafting, but, you know, trying to get these guys up so quick? Not only that, but, you know, having this succession to where all of a sudden you've got all these guys that you want to re-sign, but you just don't have the capacity to. And now you're kind of stuck into your own blow up. You know, your own, you have to do a rebuild because now you can't afford to keep all the guys you wanted, even though you thought it was a great idea to draft this guy on, you know, 14, this guy 15, this guy 16, and then have them all start, you know, up in the system the following year. Do you think we're going to see a shift in that kind of philosophy?
You know, I think it'll be team to team and who kind of runs it. But, you know, there's got to be people out there smart enough to look at the Cubs and look at the mess Epstein put them in and realize that they can't do that. You know, as great, you know, or you can do it. You can bring all these guys up at the same time. You've just got to make sure that you've dealt some of them off by the time they run out of arbitration. So, you know, it is doable. You just have to be smart enough on the back end, you know, to where you realize, oh, wait, great, I've got, you know, four guys who end arbitration. Then I've got, you know, two other star players who contract expire. You know, you've got to know how to manage these things, not only players, but contracts. So, you know, I could definitely see teams still doing it. I mean, luckily, in reality, for most teams, they don't have that problem because their guys aren't ready. You know, for something like the Cubs did where, you know, we saw – you know, Almora, Schwarber, Bryant, Happ, and, you know, you can even throw Nico Horner in there. For these guys to come up like that, like they did, rarely happens. You know, like the guys will come up at the end of the season and get a cup of coffee, but they're not here all year or going into the playoffs with a team. So, you know, it'll just kind of be team by team and try to be smarter than what Theo was, which in reality shouldn't be too hard.
Well, you know, kind of the flip side to that too, you know, I think one of his issues was not just Theo, and I think it was just the nature of society, and because of the influence of other sports, mainly basketball and football, trying to get these guys up too soon. I don't know. To me, I still feel like it did a disservice to Javi Baez. I mean, we've seen the evolution of Javi Baez, but, you know, the year that I went and saw him for two games within a matter of a couple of weeks, he went 0-for-9 and had like 5 or 6 strikeouts, and 4 or 5 of them were no look. You know, he washed them all. So,
luckily, Dan got his 20 minutes before the people open it up. It's time for us to go. I'm working on that tomorrow. So maybe we'll do this again. Maybe we'll be able to go. SportsRadio.com. Now you're going to hit the link. You've got to put it on Facebook page. You've got to like it. You've got to like it. You've got to like it.